And this morning, I believe some of us, we're already challenged just to surrender it all. Just to surrender every area of our life to God, to bring it before Him, just as we are. Just as we are. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Today is another special morning. Every time when we worship together, I just wish that everyone can just be, that everyone can just experience what we are experiencing. And we can do that. We can share the stories. We can share the testimonies. I know some of you already received some words and some things from God in the worship. Because when we come together, that God is doing things. And He's doing mighty things. And this morning, it's the last Sunday of our comeback series. We're talking about comebacks for quite some time already. Some comebacks in the movies, I said it every time, it's the underdog and then he goes on his training and he comes back, or the top dog, he was there and he fell down and he goes on his training and he comes back and he defeats everyone. And there's a lot of comebacks, and we were looking at comebacks in the Bible. We talked about Moses. I was right there in the desert, thought about that everyone has forgotten about him, and our God came in that burning bush and He called him by name. And God called him back because God had a plan to do something mighty with Israel and to get them out of their oppression and everything under Pharaoh, and to get them into the desert to worship and to lead them ultimately to the promised land. He's called Moses there. And we talk about Joseph, how Joseph had a dream, literally, and he shared it immediately to everybody. Like he said, like, I will go to my family and tell them, all of you are going to bow down to me. I might get some opposition right now. I know my brother and my sister and my dad. And they say, Yaku, you must explain a bit. But Joseph, he just said it all. And we know what happened. And all the time, you hold on to God. You hold on to God throughout everything. And it seems like he never got bitter. It seems like he was always doing his best. Throughout everything. And our God came through for him, and our God's story was bigger than Joseph's story. Because the story of Joseph was part of what God was doing. And again, God coming and save a nation of the drought and everything that happened. And we were encouraged that our story is part of God's story. Even today, your story is part of God's story. Your story, what's happening in your life, the things that's on your heart, the things that you're trusting God for, it's part of God's story. God want to do something. God is doing something. And that's what I want to encourage you to see that and to look at it that way. It's not only about us. It's not me that want to come back or me that want to make a breakthrough. It's God that's busy with a lot of things. And even the thief on the cross, one Sunday we talk about him, that he was hanging there next to Jesus and Jesus getting crucified and him getting crucified, and he just said, Lord, remember me. That's all that he said. And he said, he's him getting in heaven, and the guys will say, tell us your story. Tell us, how did you meet Jesus, and how did your, what was your life like before and after? And he said, there isn't really an after, it's right now. I'm here. I've arrived. I just reached out to God. And our God came and said, today you will be with me in paradise. And it's just amazing. And I'm just going to give Alice a chance to share some of the stories that's happening. They are busy in Cape Town. They're walking the streets. And there are also comeback stories. There are things that God is doing right now. So Alice, you can come straight through here. Yes. It's great to have you here. And thank you for what you're going to share.
Okay. He's thanking me already for what I'm going to share. Yes. So it better be good. It really is great to be in the house of the Lord. It's actually very cool. I used to come here quite often, and it's a lot of changes has happened, a lot of growth has happened. It's good to see different sides of the family doing different things. I think the main thought I want to leave today is just the church is called to love the lost back to life. That's what we're here for. And if it's not about that, if we're not going to do it, nobody's going to do it. The church has to do it. So, like Yaku said, I reached out in the city, he didn't say it, mainly to women in prostitution. So we work with what he just called the underdogs. I was thinking when I heard the comeback series, the first thing that came to mind was Jesus is coming back. He's coming back and his bride's not ready. So he's making the big comeback and he was never a top dog or an underdog. He's the King of Kings and he's coming to fetch his bride. And we need to remember that and get the bride ready. I wasn't called here to preach. Okay. I'm just here to share a few stories of women that we've met on the streets. The first one I want to share is a very young lady. She's 21 years old. We met her in Long Street selling herself, and she told us that she's pregnant a few times, and she tried to hide it. Obviously, in that kind of lifestyle, you need to try and hide it. And it's always interesting to me how us as the team speak to these ladies and they just disclose things to us that they don't want to share with anybody else. So there's immediately that trusting. There's this spirit to spirit. They just share things with us and we're like, whoa, I don't even know you. I just met you. And very cool. Just the thought I want to leave out. We've got that light. We've got that spirit where people actually really feel comfortable. So I think we spoke to her about 3 or 4 times on the streets and obviously just give her a message of hope and love and told her that God loves her and he cares for her and he's got a good plan for her and this is not part of his plan for her life. And then as we reach out to the women, we give them a number to call so they have to make contact with us when they're ready to leave the lifestyle or when they want to just build relationships or want some prayer or whatever it is that they need. And this woman made contact one very early one Saturday morning and she wanted to end her life. She said if it wasn't for the pregnancy, she would have killed herself. So I said, okay, great. And I met with her later today. Just read some scriptures to her. Just encouraged her with scripture. It works every time. It's incredible how the Bible just encourages one. I know Yaku shared, I think last week or the week before, that when you read scripture, you just feel encouraged. It just builds you up. So these women don't know that. They don't have that. So when we meet, just encourage them with the word and say, but the Lord does love you. And that's truth. Like whether her situation allows it to believe her or not, or whether I believe it in that moment or not, that's the truth. And that's what breaks the bonds. So, that was the first meeting we had with her. And then a lot of stuff happened from that moment. We had to move her from, it's a lodge where she stayed, but it operates like a brothel. So they do business there. So there's no way she can stay there. Tried to get her into a homeless shelter, but she's pregnant. Tried to get her into a home for pregnant women, but she was also on drugs. So it was a bit of a complication. Then put her in a backpackers, which was really a blessing. For a week she stayed there, and I could go visit her every day. And she slept straight for 8 days. She didn't know how far she was in her pregnancy. What she did know is that she doesn't know how to love, and therefore she cannot raise a child. So she wanted to give the child up for adoption, and then that process got started. We got her into a home that cares for women, that helps with the adoption and counseling process around that. So that was great. Awesome Christian home, close to here, actually, in Belleville. And then, the journey started. And we were still not sure where she's at, because often the woman would leave the lifestyle of prostitution for external reasons. For example, the fact that she's pregnant. So we weren't sure if she's willing to accept the Lord. She was very angry with God. She strongly believed that it's his fault that she ended up in prostitution. So that's a bit difficult. And at that moment, the baby was all she really looked into. 2 days after we got her into the home, she gave birth at full term. So she was actually 9 months pregnant at that stage. She was still very small. The baby's completely healthy, nothing wrong with him. And the adoption took place a few weeks ago. So that really is a miracle. Obviously, the journey with her started, and that was quite something. Also an adoption story of Jesus Christ adopting his children. Like I said, she was very angry, so it was quite a journey. And the first, we have a discipleship program where the women join, and I do the biblical foundation, so it's a very cool part of just, again, sharing the truth and knowing that this is what the Bible says. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to save you. I don't know how to change your life, but this is what the Bible says. So that's very exciting, and I'm so thankful that God is so faithful, and he comes through every single time. So I think the first 4 meetings I met with her, I just explained the gospel again and again and again, and she just kept saying she's not willing to accept Christ. And I said, well, we can't continue. This is the topic we're going to get stuck on until she receives him. So, and I told her that, and she was okay with that. And then about the 4th or the 5th week, she came to me. She's like, I did it. I'm a child of God. And I'm like, oh, it's that simple. And, I'm making it sound simple. It's been a journey. It really has. She's got a job now in ShopRite in town. She says the people at her work think she's crazy because she's always reading her Bible. She always wants to know more about the Lord, and she's so hungry to just start this new life. And I think when I share these testimonies, it really excites me, but it's always important to add that none of it's easy. None of it's easy for any of us, and none of it's easy for them either. So it's a journey. None of it's over. Another quick story I want to share is a lady that actually never wanted to speak to us on the street. She would run as we walk up the street. You see, oh, there she goes. And she would never talk to us. Except one night she wrote a prayer in one of our team members' journals. But we always pray for the women that we meet on the streets. We have prayer lists that we send out to prayer partners. And so we were praying for her anyway, but she wrote this prayer, so we continued to pray for her. By the time she made contact, I didn't even know who she was because we never really had a conversation with her. We met at the church, and she told us, I want a new life. I don't want to do prostitution anymore. I want God to come live inside of me. Okay, we can work with that. Like, that sounds, again, it sounds like an easy case, and I'm going to bore you if I start with all the complications from that moment in the next, even just that first 2 or 3 weeks. And then when I sat with her for Biblical Foundations, gave her homework to go read the Gospel of Mark. I give the women homework to go read the Bible all the time, and they never really do. It's one of my big challenges. But she did. She read the whole Gospel in a week. She came the next week, and she asked me about Judas and Peter, and why did Peter deny Jesus, and why did Judas betray Jesus? And the answer I gave her was really just the Holy Spirit, and I said, but we're all human, and we all do these things, and if it wasn't for these guys, we couldn't relate to what happened there. And in that moment, it's like the heavens opened, and she broke, and she said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And it was just this real moment of repentance, of we being human, we're all sinners, we need Christ, and we need the cross. And she realized that the cross was for her, and that she can get new life through that. So I've been doing this kind of ministry for 4 years now. Got some of my team members here, and I can share so many stories, but I brought some stories that you guys can read for yourself. So if any of you are interested, then just testimonies of women that's come out, then you're very welcome. There are so many ways of getting involved in the ministry, and like I said, so many stories we can share, but mostly I just want to leave you with a thought that we are the church. We need to love the body. We need to love the lost back to life, because they're busy dying, and the bridegroom is coming.
Thank you, Alice. And I also want to encourage you, if you want to know more and get involved, or just pray with them. They are going out. They are busy. God is busy. God is doing a lot of things, and even on the streets. And these are all things that we can be part of. Maybe you just want to pray. You just want to pray. There's power in prayer. And so often we feel we want to do something, but we don't know what to do. Then we can just ask around and say, what is God doing right now? What is God doing? And where can I partner? Where can I be part of the story? Be part of what's happening? And throughout this comeback series, we talk a lot about comebacks. And I realize that sometimes some of us, we're going to say, but Yaku, some of the things that happened, some of the people that passed away, some of the situations, it is so damaged, it is so not right at the moment. It's almost like there can't be a comeback. Things can never be the same again. I remember at school, friends of mine, they hiked the Otter Trail, and the one guy was just wiped off the cliffs, and they never found him again. So if we talk about comebacks, then sometimes we think that in some places there's not a comeback possible. Or there's situations of things that happened in our families and in people's lives, maybe in our lives. We say, Lord, why is this happening? What happened here? Because I can't see how there can be a comeback. I can't see how I can come back from here. And then the thing that I want to say right in front is, the hope and everything that's available for us is that Jesus is enough. That Jesus is actually enough. And it's something that must sink in. It's something that must settle in our heart. And sometimes it's a journey. It's a process. I remember on a camp many years ago, just at night, it was a church camp, lying in an army tent in my sleeping bag, and I woke up at night, and it was just, something was on me and just pressing me to the ground. I couldn't move. I couldn't move my arms. I couldn't do anything. I tried to call the guy next to me. You know, guys, we really sleep at night. So nobody wakes up. It's not like when there's a baby in the house. Some of those things, they don't work. Anyway, with me, I hear afterwards about the thunder and everything. So, but any case, that night I was lying there, and I was stuck. I was just stuck. And I thought, what is going on? And I just think, Jesus. I just said, Jesus. Jesus. I said, Jesus, help me. And after a while of saying it over and over and over, something just left. And I realized something happened there, and it was only Jesus that can step in there and save me. Only Jesus can come in there and do something. There was nothing else. And you guys, I mean, some of you know my stories of mountain bike trips and with Lee coming down the hill and you and your trailer is doing this. We were towing a small trailer behind my mountain bike with all the stuff, and somewhere it got a speed wobble, like that Formula One, you know, that bikes, and the guy goes and then he pops. So I was in that process coming down the hill. And I just shouted, Jesus, because I saw how it's going to happen. And I just shouted, Jesus. But I shouted it like it's the end. And everything settled somehow, and things smoothed out, and you just go up the other hill. And I realized that sometimes that is all that's available for us. That's all that's available is Jesus. But the thing is that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. So I really want to encourage us. Don't sit there and think that, Lord, that is a great comeback story. That I can see. I can see a guy that don't have work, he get work. I can see how that's going to happen. I can see there's no healing. We pray healing steps in. That's a great comeback. But the Lord is saying there's a comeback available for each one of us, whatever our situation. It might not look exactly the same. But there's a place where we can come and say, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And when we go back to, just want to take us quickly to the Old Testament, to Kings 17, 1 Kings 17. Elijah, he was there. And he had a word from God. There's a drought coming, and he took it to the king. And now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe and Gilead said to Ahab the king, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." So he's bringing a word that's almost like not really like now, but there was a drought. Okay. And now he brought this word, and must have felt insecure, everything. We see him hiding. We see him hiding by the brook after that. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the ravine east of the Jordan, stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And that's amazing. You see, in there we see supernatural and natural provision. Because it's a bit supernatural, the ravens come and bring you bread and meat. If you're not sure about that, that is weird. That's different. Okay? The brook, the water that's flowing, that's more natural. So here he was at the brook. He was seeing, he said, "Lord, you told me to come here. There's going to be water. I experienced the food coming. The birds are bringing food. There's natural, there's supernatural provision." And I think he must have thought about the word that he brought to the king. He said, there's a drought coming. And he must look at this water that's flowing through this brook. And he think, okay, if I must make the maths, if I must now, there's a drought. I wonder how long is this going to keep going? This natural provision, this thing that's happening here. Sometimes we have a word from God, and at the same time, we look at our circumstances, and we are making maths. We're doing the sums. We say, this and this, this I can figure out in my own strength. This part, I don't know how this is going to happen. And then we start getting nervous. And that's where fear comes in. That's where the doubts come in. That's where things are getting really difficult. So he was sitting there and he's drinking the water. And at the same time, he had a word that there's a drought coming. And then everything stopped. Then, as we continue in verse 7, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So it shouldn't have been a surprise, actually. That was his word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." And when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." Sounds like my children. "Daddy, can you bring me this? And what about that? And just something else." But yes, Elijah, it's amazing how God often uses people that's not so prominent. He doesn't use the rich. He doesn't use the ruler of the city to provide for him. We see it throughout the Bible. God will use any one of us to be part of the story, to be part of the redemption story. And sometimes it's just a word that's going to come. Sometimes it's just, you don't even going to realize what is in it for me. Because what we do, like this widow, yeah, let's read. We do exactly the same. He said, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that I may eat it and die. There's nothing else. So either I'm going to die now or I'll give food to you and then I'm going to die." So, and then he said to her, "Don't be afraid." Because that's again where the fear comes in, when we start doing the math. When we start saying, "Well, this is the prophet, this is the man of God coming to me, and I'm starting to do the math. I'm adding up. There's so much left, I can give it, but then there's nothing left. Then that's it." And fear comes in, fear comes into our hearts. And he said, "Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son." He said, "First make it for me, that pot broekie. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said, 'The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.' She went away and did as Elijah told us. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and the family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah." And this is encouraging right there. Because that was not... There wasn't a, "You're going to do this and then you're going to get this." It was just, "Will you give? Will you give?" And her act of what she, somewhere in there, sometimes our stories are just like that. There's something that is required, something that we feel God is telling us, or something that's just happening in our lives. And the only thing we can do is trust. Because when she gave her last little bit, she had to trust that somehow something will work out. Sometimes we're going to have a little bit of something and we're going to sense it. We need to give it. We're going to pass it on. And the thing that's going to move us to do that, the last thing, is trust in God. And then the amazing things happen. We see how there was just enough. But God come and he said, "I'm enough. I'm enough," for what her situation was. We see a similar thing later with the boy that, in the feeding of the 5,000, he had a little lunchbox. And maybe he must have thought that nobody in this crowd got food. So I'm the man. At least I can eat. At least there will be enough for me. And there's a place where you had to move and think, okay, Lord, I will give you this. I'll give this to you that you can do whatever. This widow, she had to make a decision. She had decided to give her last bit. She gave it away. And the amazing thing is every time they had enough, every time they were satisfied, the boy didn't walk away hungry. The widow didn't die. There was always something available for them. And God always came and supplied in their needs. And that is a place where I feel God is calling us to, where we can hold on to God, where we can trust God. Because what we do is we want to make it. We want to make it till tomorrow. We want to make it till the next day. So we want to preserve. We want to hold on. We want to hold tight. John 6, verse 35, just later in it, after in the beginning of John 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. And then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The same for Elijah. You will not go hungry. You will not be thirsty. Same for that widow. Every time. There's these stories, there's these things that's happening. And these are the kind of things that should encourage us. Because it's just a trust in God. And often we will also ask, we will also say, but why? Why is this happening? Why is this? Why this? Lord, we can't see how all of this is going to work out. We don't understand everything. We don't understand why are these things happening in my life. Why must I be part of all this stuff? And then the word of the knowledge of to know that God is in control, that is also the same word that can bring us hope in that situation. That is the same thing that can bring us hope and it can bring us some fulfillment. Just to knowing that God is in control. And we can really trust in Him. We can really trust in Him. Matthew 16, verse 25, it says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. I know life gets busy and the more things get added onto your life and the work from student to for work, to family, everything is a different season. And often we say that now I don't have money, then I have time, now I don't have time, now I've got money. Now it's just these resources. It's changing all the time. Then you don't have money and you don't have time and then then you don't sleep, then you did sleep. And they always want to say that if I just knew what I know now back then I would have used my time better, used my money better. And it's all this stuff. And then the words say, if you want to save our own life, we will lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you will find it. That's encouraging. Then it's almost like there will be time. There will be money. There will be stuff. There will be something available. We won't lose our lives. And life is practical. Life is, this is life. It's not just sitting on my bed or sitting here in worship on a chair and this is it. We all walk out of this door again. Life goes on. But God is with us. And He's still the same God. Yesterday, today, here, there, everywhere. And He's still enough. Jesus is enough. But sometimes we walk through those doors and we realize, oh, guts. It doesn't feel the same. It's a great feeling in worship on Sunday. Now it feels different. But God is the same. He's right there walking through those doors with you. And He's right there. He's opening the doors. He's bringing whatever is necessary. And He knows our hearts. And at the same time, there will be challenges. There will be things coming our way. And it's mostly an invitation. I realized it was this widow with the boy with his lunchbox. It's an invitation to be part of what God is doing. Invitation for our story to be part of a bigger story. It's an invitation to experience God's redeeming story, God's salvation story. And then we will have enough, and God will do whatever is necessary to do. The miracle will be there, and we will be part of the miracle. And I really want to encourage us this morning. Often we want to hold on. Often we think, no, I can do this and this, not that. And I'm not talking about big stuff. I'm just talking about being sensitive and obedient to what God is placing on our hearts. That's it. Just one step at a time. And if things are too much, then that's what we tell God. That's what we tell this relationship. That's the biggest thing, the biggest privilege that we have, is to be able to be in a relationship with God. To be able to walk with God day in, day out, to hear His voice, to experience His presence, to be part of His salvation stories, to be part of what God is doing. That is a massive privilege. And God is saying that, I've got you in my hand. I've got you. For today, that step of obedience that you are taking, that place where you walk, where it's fearful, where you're stepping out, you say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I feel this is what I must do. This is how I must respond to you. Then you will experience God coming through for you today. The amazing thing is, He's going to come through for you tomorrow. And it's going to go on and on. And this is something that Elijah had to experience. Maybe he thought that he's got it all figured out. He's now at the brook. God led him there. It's amazing. The water is flowing. It's already a miracle. The birds are coming, bring me food. Everything seems amazing. So what do? When things are getting amazing, we forget about God. You think, wow, this is just amazing. And then everything just dried up. And sometimes then we say, wow, we get angry. We said, yeah, I had all this and this, and now it's all gone. I had these breakthroughs, this was the miracle, this was the testimony, it's gone. We get angry in our hearts. We ask questions that we can ask them, but it's the wrong questions. So we just say, Lord, why this? Instead of, Lord, just show me what are you busy with. Show me what is happening. Show me, help me to understand. Because then God just led Elijah to the town, to the widow. And again, he experienced a breakthrough. And again, there was provision for him. Till the end of the drought. And that's how I think, that's how our stories are going to go. It's going to go from one place to another place to another place. It's a walk with God. And we're going to experience God's breakthrough, His power, His deliverance, His healing, Him just being enough over and over and over and over. And that is relationship with God. And that is what I want to encourage us today. Sometimes we're going to feel that, wow, I'm at a great place. Sometimes we're going to feel this is a terrible place to be. But God is still with us. And Jesus is enough. He is walking with us. He is right there in the situation. Let's ask the right questions. Let's ask Him. In Psalm 73, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of our hearts. God is the strength of our hearts. And sometimes that is going to be our comeback story. That is going to be our comeback story. It's going to be different from the other comeback stories. It's going to be a story of where I can walk and experience God's presence, experience having a relationship with God, knowing that Jesus is enough. And even though things are chaos around me, even though things happened where I feel I can never come back from this. Things will never be the same. And maybe some things, it will not be the same. But even in the midst of the world, the broken world that we live in, we can walk with God and know that Jesus is enough. And He's going to come back, and we will experience His power, we're going to experience healing, we're going to experience the Word of God, provision, whatever is necessary for that season. And it's not going to stop, it's going to come and come and come again. It's going to be there for us. Colossians 1:15-17, it says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. It's Jesus. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus. And all of us, we are part of His story. We are part of God's story. You know, when we will experience probably the biggest breakthroughs, the biggest acts of deliverance, provision, is when we just admit that we don't have enough. When we just say that, Lord, I can't do it. Because we all like to fight. I think so. It's that competitive streak. You know it when you play Catan. Everyone starts out as friends and they walk out as, I don't know, Settlers of Catan or board games, other board games maybe. You say, hey, we used to be friends. What happened here? Yeah, I thought you loved me. Things happen. But that is when we experience the biggest comeback of them all. In these breakthroughs, in these places where we admit, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do it. I don't have a plan B. I don't have anything else. And we just lay down the fight. We just lay down the battle. We lay down all this fighting and we just surrender. And it is difficult. I'm very aware of life. We live in a broken world. We live in a broken world, but God is still in control. He's in control. But when we admit that, Lord, that thing that happened, I don't know how to come back from it. I don't know. Things are never going to be the same again. Things are never going to be like it used to be. And there's going to be a time where every time there's things in my life where sometimes I still go back and I think, wow, I remember those days. I remember this. And I long for it to be the same again. And I spend time with God and I say, Lord, that really hurt what happened there. I don't know how to get through there, but thank you that your grace is enough for me today. Thank you that your grace is again enough for me. Thank you that I can again move forward. I can again experience healing. I can again experience your grace coming and comfort me. And it will go on and on and on. And that is the greatest comeback of all, that Jesus is enough. So I want to encourage you, we're at the end of our comeback series, but our stories will continue. Our comebacks will continue. And we don't know what's going to happen when we walk out of here. We don't know what is happening, but we know that our story is part of God's story. I really want to encourage you of that. It's not just about myself. It's not just. Alice shared that it's also difficult for them to walk the streets of Cape Town. That's where they step out and say, Lord, you must protect us. There's nothing else. Lord, you need to come through for us. We're walking those streets. They're really walking by faith. But them stepping out and them experiencing breakthroughs, that is the start of somebody else's comeback story. That is why she can stand here and testify of comebacks of other people. And sometimes us stepping in out of our situation, or just stepping forward and just say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this comeback is going to be. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I'll be obedient. Your comeback might be part of somebody else's comeback story. And in the end, it all fits together in God's story of redemption. In God's story. And that's amazing. Amen. Let's stand. I'm just going to ask the guys if they can just pray for us again. I just want us to sing another song, and you just bring your story to God. You bring your situation. I don't know every one of you. You don't know me. Sometimes it's just things that we just want to put it away, block it out. Because we understand time. We can understand sometimes it's required to give time or money or resources. But sometimes God is calling us to a place where we also just lay down some of the pain. We give the pain to Him. And we just allow Him to, just the love of God to come into our hearts again. Some, maybe it's a situation, it's a battle that you fight. You thought, Lord, things are never going to be the same again. Now I want to say that Jesus is enough. There's a place where you can experience the power of Jesus in your situation, where you can have that peace that surpasses all understanding and surpasses everything. And it's a place where we can just hold on to God. There's nothing else. And that is the start of our comeback. And maybe that's the start of somebody else's comeback. And I want to encourage you, what's in your hand. Sometimes we hold on because we don't want to lose it. We don't want to give. Because we want to sustain our life. We want to say, Lord, not this. I can't, Lord. I want to be in charge, Lord. And Jesus is saying that if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. I am the giver of life. I am the giver of life. Let's just sing and let's just bring our hearts before God. We're just going to take a moment to respond to the word. And after that, we can fellowship. But I just ask you, just respond. If you want to come forward, you want to pray with us, you're welcome. Sometimes that is the necessary step, a first step. Sometimes it's just standing and worshiping and just saying, God, this is my heart. These are my inner thoughts, Lord. I trust in you. You are enough.